Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 726. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is laying by my feet, soaking up the suns as it's early Saturday. Well, it's Saturday morning. It's about 10 a.m. It's not early morning. But the sun rays are coming through this room right now, and he's just soaking it up, doing some sunbathing. And I might record another episode of this later today, but I won't be putting that out until next week. Muffin Man is going to be coming over. He said he like wanted to record, do a podcast, and have me take a diabetes test, like, which would be kind of funny to do. But poke my finger. I've done it, but it's been many years since I've done that. He has diabetes. And so, anyway, I don't know that we're going to have enough time to do one. So I figured I'd go ahead and do one now. And he's at work. We're going to go see the Christopher Nolan movie, The Odyssey, tonight, which is a 3-hour fucking movie. I already have purchased a 5-hour energy to get me through the damn thing, because I know that that is going to be next level impossible for me to stay awake for a 3-hour movie, as I've been pretty tired lately, working a lot of overtime in the heat. So it's going to be like a marathon event. I feel like maybe I should start carbo loading right now. Just get a big plate of spaghetti in me to sit in a movie for that long. Anyway, yeah, gonna be, doing that. I was hoping rather to go see, I talked about last week, wanting to go see The Evil Dead. Not doing that apparently. You know, I like some of Christopher Nolan's movies, but I'm not like a hardcore fan, I gotta admit. not a massive fan. And so I'm not real stoked. And I know that watching, I like, you know, stuff that I enjoy, I guess. Again, not a huge fan of this either, but, you know, the Greek and, like, Roman stuff, the ancient times. And, you know, I like the story of the Odyssey, but I don't know that I want to sit through 3 hours of it in a theater. It would be much better to watch at home, because that stuff, like, I found, like, I never did get around to watching Gladiator 2. The first Gladiator is actually one of the first moments I remember ever dozing off at a movie theater, and I was still, like, in my 20s, I guess, when Gladiator 1 came out. A time when I was not having any issues staying awake during movies. That one put me to sleep. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to pause for a second because I had a package delivered. So I'm going to pause real quick and go get that package. Ooh, I got my package. I walked outside barefoot to my mailbox. Got one or two packages, as I do have another package coming later. This one is a physical copy of Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater for the PS5. All the hoopla over Sony canceling physical media, which I talked about briefly, I guess, a couple episodes ago, which sucks. The big thing is, you know, they're really monopolizing the games, whereas they can sell it digitally, and if there's no physical copies being sold anywhere, they can charge whatever price, because the only place you're going to get it is via the digital store, the PlayStation store. So, you know, and since they don't have to like produce a physical copy of it either, it's cost even less for them, you know, and yet they're going to continue to just raise prices on everything. But I had seen that there was a lot of sales when I was, you know, reading and watching videos about the whole situation. I did see that Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater was for $25, the physical copy, on Amazon. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to have to get that. And I don't know that I have any other physical copies, actually, honestly, for the PlayStation 5, the games. I haven't really bought that many games, period, on the PlayStation 5. I got the last Final Fantasy VII, the second part of the remake, but I have the digital version of that. I've got like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on there, the Evil Dead game. But a lot of the stuff I play, honestly, on the PS5 were PS4 games that I had. So, I will not be buying the PlayStation 6. I just, I will clarify that now. As Sony's really going downhill, and they are just raking customers over the coals for prices with everything. And I also canceled my PlayStation Plus membership because kind of fuck that one, fuck them. And also, you know what? I very rarely ever download any of those games anyway that I get. I do like the baseline membership of the PlayStation Plus. But I got a massive library that I could download, you know, some of those games. But, yeah, why am I going to continually give them money for shit that I don't fucking use? And when, you know, it's just turned into real shit. And anyway, I was going to... Fun fact, I got this game while I was recording this podcast because that was a subject I figured I'd go ahead and talk about today because there is, you know, I had a real love for the PlayStation. You know, I've been a gamer pretty much my entire life. I don't remember the first moment that I started playing games because it's before my memory really kicked in, I think. I know that I had an Atari, was it the 2600? I don't know when my family got that, but I mean, some of my earliest memories are, you know, like playing video games. And, that's, you know, where I started was the Atari. And we played the shit out of of course, the NES, the original Nintendo. That was some of my most cherished memories of playing games, was playing, you know, like Mega Man, Zelda, Ninja Gaiden, or Gaiden, Ninja Gaiden, I guess is the proper pronunciation, maybe. Goonies 2, that was a good one. A lot of classic games. Then I went Sega Genesis, and after the Sega Genesis, well, not after, I guess, but I had the Sega Genesis. It would have the attachment for the Sega, the 32X. But after the 32X, that is where PlayStation hits the stores. And I remember looking it up. The PlayStation originally launched in Japan in 1994. I had read Electronic Gaming Monthly. I don't think I had a subscription. I think I would just like pick it up from time to time at like the store on a fairly regular basis, though. And I had Nintendo Power for a while. That, again, I don't know that I had a subscription. Might have just bought it fairly regularly. So I was, you know, I was hip to the news, what was coming down the pipe for new video game releases, all that good stuff. And so, you know, I had known, I guess, about the release of the PlayStation before it came to the U.S., reading about it in the likes of Electronic Gaming Monthly. And, you know, I would just read about new games all the time. And it was an exciting thing. The PlayStation, the OG PlayStation, you know, had, I mean, one, it was on discs. That was a big thing, you know, having the first consoles that were not cartridge based. And you could have, you know, movie quality FMV, you know, full motion video stuff in there, which there was before the PlayStation. There was, of course, the Sega CD and what I guess the 3DO was disc based, I think, as well. But, you know, there's the add-on for the Sega Genesis, the Sega CD, which, unfortunately, I did not have. There was not that many games for it. It's probably good that, you know, my parents didn't waste money on that. But there were games that I was definitely interested in playing on the... I was, as a big Sega guy, I was, you know... I did not... I wanted a Sega CD. Didn't happen. But the PlayStation was, you know, huge. That, And it, you know, had one of the first consoles that had a lot of the, you know, 3D environments and such in there. And it was mind blowing at the time, I remember. And knowing about the feature that there were some games that you could take out the game disc and then put in a music CD. And have actual like songs from like say Soundgarden, which I did when I finally got my PlayStation, and would play that, play a game, and have like whatever music I wanted in the background. Basically, that was mind blowing at the time. I remember, I remember buying my first PlayStation. And I paid way too much for it. Looking at the initial price tag of it, I think it said it was $300 at the time it was introduced in the U.S. It might have gone down a little bit by the time I bought it because I was trying to figure it out earlier when exactly I bought the PlayStation 1. I don't remember if it was, I was working my first or second job at the time. I had to have been around 16, 15 to 16 years old at the time. And so I was already working at the age of 15. And that would have been in 96. I want to say I probably got it in 96. And so it launched in the U.S. around September of 95. I don't think I got it until 96. And I would venture to guess it must have been while I was working my first job. And as a dishwasher at Bartholomew's restaurant that has long been extinct now. I want to say I got it then and not my second job. But... I overpaid for it because I believe I bought it out of a catalog thing because there was back then pre, you know, Amazon being this massive storefront online and what have you. And, you know, I would have had to have gotten it from like, say, Walmart or just like a mail order catalog. And for whatever reason, I chose the mail order catalog, but they had like, you know, a pay as you go sort of thing. There was interest that I had to pay. I had monthly payments. $300 for me back then was, I mean, according to the Wikipedia page for the PlayStation 1, in 2025 money, which is only a year ago, I would imagine it'd be even more in 2026 with the rate of inflation these days, but equivalent to $630 in 2025. I mean... That was a mind-boggling amount of money for me when I was working my first job at 15. So It took me quite a while to pay off that. I don't remember with the interest, like how many payments I made on it or anything, but it was a big deal for me getting that PlayStation. And I only had one game coming out of the gate with it. It came with Ridge Racer, which I was a fan of the Ridge Racer. I loved that game. It was fantastic, and I got so good at drifting on there. And, of course, I could take the disc out and put in, which actually I think it was Shelley, my brother's, my brother had the album of Soundgarden, Down on the Upside. And one of the songs, because you couldn't get every song to, like, play all the way through. One of the few songs that would play all the way through, which is kind of fucked up to think about it now. But the song Pretty Noose, which is a fantastic song, and I got to know how to do... I got so good at playing that game, listening to that song, that Pretty Noose. Every time I played Ridge Racer, I had to have Pretty Noose done, and I knew all the turns in the fucking track by where it was on the song. Like, I probably could have done that blindfolded. I probably should have tried when I'd gotten so good at that game, and it was just Soundgarden's Pretty Noose. But it's kind of fucked up because Chris Cornell would go on to hang himself, unfortunately. Love me some Soundgarden and Chris Cornell, but it's a little weird to listen to that song now, which is a shame because I do love that song. And it's, you know, the only brand new car I've ever bought. when I got that, it was the Ford Focus that I had, and 2008 Ford Focus SES. And I got that. It had the sync system, and I was able to, like, sync my phone up to it and play songs off my phone. Or I think I initially, too, like, hooked up my iPod. Yeah, it was way back in the day. I would just hook up my iPod to it. And I, of course, would play Pretty Noose while driving the car, and I'd have to, like, floor it just rocking Pretty Noose. anyway. yeah, PlayStation 1 was a pretty big deal to me. It was of course Final Fantasy VII to me is still the greatest game ever. It's hard for me to ever imagine one beating that. And of course that came out PlayStation 1, and it was just that game was just mind-boggling. I spent so much time on that. I think I burnt through, like, three different PlayStation 1s. Thankfully, they did drop in price over time. But there was an overheating issue. I don't think I, like, left it on carpets or anything. I don't know why they burnt up. One of the consoles that we, Shelly and I actually would share was, like, we had modded to where we could play pirated discs. But I think it was, if I remember correctly, it's not like we opened it up and like soldered anything to the board or anything like that. I think there was just something we plugged into the back of it to where you could read burnt discs. But I think that when we did that, that one had burnt up. I don't think that was my original PlayStation. My original PlayStation had burnt up before. That PlayStation 1, we played for years. And so many great, fantastic games on it. It was a world of difference since the system I played really before that was the Sega Genesis with the 32X adapter. And there was really only a few games for the 32X. But that was... just the opening sound, which I can't mimic to the PlayStation, was fantastic. And then, of course, PlayStation 2 came out, and that's the only console ever that I was jacked enough for that I had to get when it first released. And with, I think, pretty much every release of a PlayStation console, it's always been, you know, hard to come by. initially, and that they never had enough consoles ready to roll off the bat. And that was definitely the case with PlayStation 2. And at the time, it wasn't like I had a smartphone. It was before smartphones existed. And you couldn't like have an app to track where all the inventory was and what store to go to get yourself a console. You couldn't just, you know, go on Amazon and order one and what have you. But I don't know. They might have had pre-orders at that time at certain stores, but I don't recall that being a thing when the PS2 came out. I know that I did. I think I waited in line for like a good hour or two. But I went when I heard that there was a, I want to say it was Walmart and Union that I drove over to pick up the PlayStation 2. And I regret getting that so close to, like, it wasn't immediately when it came out, but it was pretty damn early in the system's release, because we were still, like, fighting to get one of the consoles. And, yeah, that one ended up having a problem in it to where there's a gear in there that you could... I would end up having to move to raise or lower the laser lens to be able to read either a DVD or a game disc. Because the PS2 was one of the big things with the PS2, which is also one of the reasons why I wanted it so badly. Because, you know, I was a big fan of PlayStation 1, but it was an affordable DVD player, because this is around the time the DVDs first really hit. And DVD players by themselves were really expensive. So having the PlayStation 2 come out and the ability to read DVDs was a huge, massive thing. But apparently the laser lens had to be at different heights to read the game disc as opposed to a DVD disc. And there was in the early... models of the PlayStation 2 that were shipped out, they had a flaw in the in there to where some kind of, I'm not sure what part, I guess it was that gear that fucks up. I think there's stuff you can buy online that you can fix it. I still have my PlayStation 2. Apparently it's a fairly easy fix. I used to take apart my PlayStation though, PlayStation 2. Which I never did end up buying another PlayStation 2, which is kind of funny, but like, I love the PlayStation 2. I mainly remember playing like sports games on the PlayStation 2. Of course, I played Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 1 is definitely, you know, one of my favorite games of all time on the original PlayStation. And I guess it was Metal Gear Solid 2 that had come out on PS2. But I remember playing a lot of the Sega sports games on the PlayStation 2. Which is actually what I was doing on the day of 9/11, fun fact. When I found out that the towers were hit, when the first tower was hit, I was listening to Howard Stern while playing Sega NFL 2K. Or maybe it was 2K1. I don't remember if I had 2K1 yet. I mean, it would have been... Yeah, I guess it would have been 2K1, because I'm thinking, like, yeah, they would have released... Although, did I have the older version? Hell, I don't know. I want to say it was 2K1. Maybe I was playing an older game. Anyway, I was playing one of the same sports games. but, man, yeah, I loved the PlayStation 2, even though, like, when it started having issues and I'd have to take it apart every time that I would... want to play a game, basically, and then it was a pain in the ass to take it apart. I got fairly quick at doing it, but I had to take a screwdriver and like move this little gear to get kind of jimmy it and like get the thing to work. Once it would read the disc, like you were good to go, but I think I would have to like open it and like play with the gear a few times to really try and get it right. But like once you got it right, you could play a game. And it would continue to read the thing. But that I played that thing for years. Like that point, it was the system I had when I first got my first apartment, and that was the system I was playing a bunch. It was the PlayStation 2. And then, of course, the PS3, I did not rush out to get. But, I mean, it was fucking expensive. And, but, my good friends, Toddy the Body and Trebejo, they pitched in to get me the PS3 for, I think it was my birthday. Maybe it was Christmas. It was my birthday or Christmas because they wanted to play Call of Duty with me. They were playing Call of Duty World of War. I think World of War was already out at that point. I know, yeah, we were playing World of War. I had played a ton of it on Todd's PS3 because at this point in time, we were hanging out together a lot. Like every other weekend, I would go over to his mom's house in Fenton and we would drink at that one place. And then... like, I guess before going to get drunk, rock some Call of Duty. I think maybe the next day after just, you know, with a bit of a hanger, get up and play some Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Call of Duty World of War. But so, yeah, they got me the PS3, which was an amazing system. A great, fantastic system. The PlayStation, by the time PlayStation 4 came out, I feel like PlayStation is definitely on the downward slope trajectory. From what I understand, like the original CEO is gone by the time the PS4 came out, and one of the big, or at least the creator of the PlayStation. But yeah. After that, I don't even remember when I got a PS4. I bought the PS4, like, I'm pretty sure way after release. But it's not a memory that, it doesn't even look, like, the look of the PS3 looks way cooler than the PS4. The PS4 is just dog shit. The PS5 is better looking, I think, than the PS4. But the PS5 also, I didn't rush out to get that one with all the delays and what have you. But the older systems, they really had newer stuff like inside the machine that you wouldn't find inside, like, say, a PC or something. They had technology that wasn't being used. And from what I understand, PlayStation 4 and 5, they are just going with parts that you can get in other systems and, you know, PCs. They're not really trying to innovate. And so you're not getting stuff that you would see, that you can't see on other platforms. PlayStation exclusives aren't really that. There's less and less PlayStation exclusives. And, you know, there's just not that much reason to get a PlayStation anymore. I definitely feel like they've been at the top for too long, and they Kid Icarus'd it, man. They fucking had their wax wings and decided to fly a little too close to the sun, and the wings are melting. They are on the downfall, but you know, it's. I mean, they're probably not going under. It's such a massive company. They have just a strong arm over so much of the video game network, or, you know, not a network, but, you know, video games in general. It seems unlikely that they will fail. But, man, it seems like they're definitely going downhill. And then with the push of to get rid of the physical games is, I think, really showing just the cracks underneath and just showing how they are really trying to monopolize off of every little thing. They are increasing the prices of PlayStation Plus memberships, just increasing the prices on their games, even though they're getting rid of the physical stuff, which, you know, that you would think you would be able to pay less if you're just a digital download, because it costs way more to produce a physical copy of it. Although I realize there's, you know, server space and, you know, the cost it just takes to run servers and to store information on there, the housing for the servers. There is money involved there. But I mean, you know, it's crazy though that the digitals should cost less. Because even when you're buying a physical game, you still have to download these days, download part of the game via the internet. And yeah, I don't know. It's just shitty. And I just feel like there's, with the big video game publishers, that they've ran a monopoly for so long on, like, say, Call of Duty. And it seems that Grand Theft Auto with the 6, they are really starting to do this too. Like, I mean, just charging you for every little thing now. And not necessarily putting in, you know, there's no heart to it. It's just, they're starting to use AI to make shit. And it's, from what I understand, I haven't been following the GTA 6 too much. I haven't honestly played, I think I might have briefly played GTA 4. But really, I haven't gotten in depth into a Grand Theft Auto game, and since Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which that came out on the PlayStation 2, which Vice City and San Andreas, well, even Grand Theft Auto 3, I played all of those a lot. I beat all of them and spent a lot of time just fucking around on there. But, so I'm not exactly, I could really give a shit less about GTA 6. You know, I might end up getting it at some point just because of the fact that a lot of my friends from work that play games will probably be playing GTA 6. Hey, you know, I gotta represent. I gotta be there for my boys. So. Though, I don't know. I from what I understand, you gotta pay for all kinds of shit on there. And it's already pricey enough to just pay for the game. And when you gotta basically pay a fucking monthly membership to play a fucking game, it's like, fuck you. I'm starting to feel like, oh, you know, I got this Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, which I'm excited to play. I love Metal Gear. I enjoyed the first iteration of it before it was remade. Would I say it was my favorite Metal Gear? I would say Metal Gear Solid 1 is my favorite. But Snake Eater was good. It was fun. The camo, different camos to hide with was pretty interesting, a little dynamic to have in the game. I'm kind of starting to feel like I want to go back more with some retro games that I just want to go back and play, like the cartridges based games, or just on a game that is held on a disc that there is zero downloading you have to do. So like a PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2, where you can just drop that sucker in and go to town. And there's something magical. I was over at Jackman's about a month ago or so, and we were playing fucking Guitar Hero 3 on the PlayStation 2, and it was fucking awesome, man. It was fucking awesome. just playing fucking Guitar Hero. And although something was going on with his memory card or something, that thing had an obscene. It wasn't a PlayStation memory card, which might have been, I feel like might have been the thing why it was taking so long to save the game. But whenever we would save the game after like opening up a new song, it took a few minutes. Like a ridiculous amount of time. I don't remember that being the case originally with the PlayStation 2. With it taking that long. I think it was the issue with his memory card. I could be wrong, but otherwise we had a great time just playing Guitar Hero 3. And I just love the retro systems, man. You know, I still got a few of my retro systems. I have the N64. I got the PlayStation 2, which if I want to play that, I really need to fix it. My PlayStation 3 will play PlayStation 1 games, but I don't think it plays PS2 games. So I can play my PlayStation 1 games on my PS3, and the PS3 still works. That is a solid system. And I do have a fair amount of PlayStation 1 games still. So, I mean, there's definitely some options I have there. Unfortunately, though, well, the PlayStation 3, I think I have can attach. Yeah, I don't remember. Is that one HDMI? I don't remember what the port on the back of the PS3 is. But everything I have before the PS3, definitely I have an issue connecting to any of the TV or the projector that I have. Might be a little tricky. Might have to get some new adapters, what have you. So I've got the N64. I know that. Got the PS3. I sold my GameCube, which I still feel dirty about. But, you know, I had to come up with the money for a down payment for this place somehow. And I did have quite a few games for the GameCube, and I did get at least a couple $100 out of selling all the games and the system that I had. So, but I used to have a lot more old systems. Unfortunately, my Dreamcast is long gone. I missed that one. That one was fantastic. First system, the first home console that you could go online with. And, of course, there were some great, the sports games on that were fantastic. The Sega sports games on Dreamcast, because you could play against, you know, your buddy right sitting right next to you, and they couldn't see what any of the plays you were selecting, because on the controller you had like the memory card slot, and the memory cards had a screen on it, and you could pick the plays via the screen. That was one of the cool aspects of the Dreamcast. I mean, the Dreamcast was just a fun system. And unfortunately, it just kind of missed the mark, because Sega Saturn, they put out not too long out before the Dreamcast, and then just kind of quickly abandoned that and then went to the Dreamcast. It was Sega just, you know, but people missed out, because the Dreamcast was actually a really great system. And Sega dropped the ball, man. Dropped the ball. They had good shit, you know, and it was a great company. I'm quite curious, is Sony, though, they're such a massive company and have such a strong iron grip on video games these days. Are they going the route of Sega right now? But I think PlayStation and Sony have just got just way more money than Sega had at the point of their demise, where they just became a software company as opposed to hardware. And it seems unlikely that that'll happen to Sony and PlayStation. But, man, I have to wonder. And a lot of people are pissed off. But then again, like, Sony's making so much money. They put out Black Ops 1 and 2 on the PlayStation Network for the PS5. and they sold obscene amounts, like overnight, on those copies. It was also Call of Duty is really gone to shit, but Black Ops 1 and 2 were pretty great, especially 1. 1 was fantastic. Great game. Call of Duty's been shit in the bed for quite a few years now, but at that point in time, great fucking games. And they did nothing to these games. They did not do anything with the graphics, didn't update them or anything. They just made you be able to buy, which I guess those were PS3 games. I think those were both out on the PS3. And so, oh, you could buy them on the PlayStation 4 and 5 now. Woo! Which I get that, you know, it's cool just to, and that there's all of a sudden people back playing that. There's probably more people playing that now than are playing the current Call of Duty games. Especially Warzone. Warzone's, man, I was playing it last night, and yeah. But anyway, knowing that how much money they made off of just re-releasing those titles, and for you didn't get like a discount. These are old games. Black Ops. Right, hold on. Let's do a little Google search here. Black Ops was released quite a few years. It was released in 2010. So 16 fucking years ago. And hey, you know what? I don't even have to hit minus AI, I think, on Google. Is this just a today thing? Because they don't have the Google search results on my, at least maybe this browser. Maybe did I fuck with the settings? I might have fucked with the settings to where I don't have the AI on here. Let's see here, the news for it. See here, Black Ops 2 updates. This is on mpfirst.com. I don't know what the fuck mpfirst is. Anyway. See, Black Ops 2 updates, update release for PlayStation. Oh, I don't care about the update. I want to know about, like, sales and whatnot. Yeah, here we go. This is, okay, Kotaku.com. It's got some, Call of Duty Black Ops 1 and 2 ports arrive on PS5, cost $40 each. Again, this, the first game is 16 years old, and you're still charging $40 for it. They didn't do anything new for it. And they don't include DLC. Currently, PlayStation Plus subscribers can buy both CODs for half off, but that's still a lot for 12-plus-year-old games, one being 16 years old. Activision has finally ported Xbox 360-era FPS Call of Duty Black Ops and its sequel to the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. That's cool, as these games have been playable via backwards compatibility on Xbox One and Xbox Series X/S for some time now. However, if you want to buy both games and all of their DLC, it will cost you $60 plus, and that's with the temporary PlayStation Plus discount. When that expires, the price doubles to $140. That's fucking absurd. Last month, after numerous rumors and data mine leaks, Activision officially announced that it was porting Call of Duty Black Ops, originally in 2010. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 was released in 2012 to PS4 and PS5 after fans had begged for it for years. Thanks to backwards compatibility, these and other older COD games that launched back on the Xbox 360 were playable on newer Xbox consoles and with full online support too, but PS5 and PS4 owners had no way to play either of the classic Black Ops titles. That changed today with the quiet release of both games on PS4 and PS5, but fan reaction is mostly negative as people are shocked by the high prices and lack of improvements. Call of Duty Black Ops is $40, but currently marked down to $20 until August 6th. And then same with the second one, yada, yada. But when the discount ends in August, each season pass will cost players $30. Okay, yeah, that's $30 for the season pass to get your DLC. That's fucking ridiculous. One of the very first comments on a Reddit post sharing the news, Black Ops 1 and 2 are out now on PSN, is simple. Bruh, you have to buy the DLC again? And yeah, you do. Remember buying DLC map packs for shooters? Welcome back to 2012, baby. At least these ports include zombies and all the other modes, making the price even worse is the fact that from what I can tell, these ports are extremely bare bones. There's no added content, behind the scenes features, or new maps. Worse, these ports lack an FOV slider, don't support 120 frames per second, and seem to feature no real graphical updates beyond some light upscaling to make the image fit better on a big 4K TV. They really are just the old games slapped onto PS4 and PS5 at a premium price and nothing else. Reselling the DLC is so greedy and annoying, considering that it will split the player base between people who have it and people who don't. And it's not 2010 anymore, where this is the hit multiplayer game of the year and guaranteed to have lots of players indefinitely, complained another person on Reddit. Someone pointed out that these prices match how much the games cost on Xbox and that those versions also don't include any features or major visual upgrades when playing on Xbox Series consoles. That's true, but really this is such a bungled opportunity for Activision to win back fans and get some good PR. They could have had a port house work on slightly improved versions of both games bundled together with all the DLC and some crossplay, and then released those ports on both Xbox and PlayStation for like $30. And people would have been over the fucking moon. Instead, Activision has chosen the worst, most greedy way to re-release these beloved shooters and made everyone mad. Good job. Yeah. Fucking ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm not really interested in buying new fucking games. The new game that I... I am interested. Sorry, I'm looking at InfoWars merch. Via the Onion. Anyway. I am definitely like the last part of the trilogy to the Final Fantasy VII remake. That's the only one that I know that, you know, I'm gonna definitely buy that one. I gotta play it. Past that. Yeah, I feel like I love the old games, man. Why am I that's for the PlayStation. They really kind of got me in a bind with the Switch 2 thing here with the Ocarina of Time remake. I really want to play that. I don't want to buy a Switch 2. I do not want to buy a Switch 2. I play my Switch 1 about once a week. When I take my mother shopping and I sit out in the car while she's spending an hour plus in there, I'm playing my Switch. That Ocarina of Time, you know, I do like, you know, like Mario Kart and stuff, but there's not like, also, you know, I don't want to spend a fuck ton of money on Switch games, but there's just that one. I want to play Ocarina of Time, damn it. Yes. At some point, I will probably have to get it. I will probably have to get me a Switch 2. And those things like never go down in price. You know, that's pretty much true with like every Nintendo system out there. Is that they're never gonna go down in price. The shit is. I mean, all of them are just so good. With the exception, of course, the exception is the Virtual Boy, I would say. The Virtual Boy is I think there might be like one other Nintendo system, but the Virtual Boy was their first attempt at like virtual reality back in like the 90s. And the game was all red. It was like a headset you couldn't like really strap to your head. You had to like bend down. It was like on like a tripod. And it was bad. My buddy Todd had that. And I was fortunate to be able to play it. I would be interested to play it again now. It was so bad. All the games were just red. It made the movie Lawnmower Man, the virtual reality in that, just look amazing. Which at the time, I was pretty young when Lawnmower Man came out. I'm not sure what year that came out, so I can't do the math there. But that was an amazing movie. Like, holy shit. At the time, we thought, like, oh, we're all going to live in virtual reality. Now it's like, now that I have access to virtual reality, like, oh, I just use it for porn. That's all it's good for. A little VR porn. I'm not learning a bunch of shit off there and becoming super smart like Job was in Lawnmower Man. It's just porn. I'm looking at the InfoWars merch store. They have shirts now with Tim Heidecker on there with the "I am demon free, bitch." This is what it says on there. "I am demon free, bitch." Which, of course, every Thursday night, the Real InfoWars are putting out a video. And the Jim Haggerty Show, I feel like, is a real gem on there. The Jim Haggerty Show. But Tim's bit on his emergency bit, he had this woman on that was saying how much percentage of a demon all these people are. And she said Tim Heidecker was a 0% demon. But his wife that he's going through a divorce with, Chesapeake, called into the show while he's finding out who's a demon. And she's, of course, trying to take Tim's horse. I forgot the horse's name, but his wife's name's Chesapeake. At least in the bit, you know. I don't know what Tim Heidecker's real wife's name is. But she's, of course, like petting the horse and stuff. And they got like horse sound effects. Pretty great. But there's a shirt with Tim's face on it now that says, "I am demon free, bitch." It's just so great to know Alex Jones has just got to be seen. It's like, God damn it. This is horse shit. Oh, man. You can actually buy Demon Guard now. I believe that was sold out before. You can buy Demon Guard. Demon Guard is the cross-shaped bandages that, of course, it says here, "Our demons preventing you from liberty and happiness. It's nothing to be ashamed of. The wicked often prey on the righteous. Demon Guard is an easy-to-wear patch that secretes holy water and minerals harvested from the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, guaranteeing 24-hour protection from all dark entities. Each patch is blessed by a patriarch-ordained minister, so you can walk your path in divine comfort." That is tempting to buy. Actually, I might buy the InfoWar glasses here. They got some shade. I could use some new shades. And they got the InfoWars new logo with the onion as the O, which is, and in the rainbow font, which is pretty great. And hey, you know, the money goes towards the Sandy Hook families that have been pestered by Alex Jones now for years. So pretty great. I might one day order some of this stuff. Still can't order the program to turn your gold into piss or turn your piss into gold. Can't order that. Or the still sold out on the Puro oxygen capsules. How else am I going to get my oxygen, son of a bitch? And there's the Learn to Float, Discover the Secret thing that is also sold out. So I won't be floating anytime soon. But I can get my Demon Guard. 30 holy protection patches. Yeah, I wonder if it's just the box or if it does really have like the bandages like that, because that's pretty fantastic. If either way. Yeah. I don't know that I'll be getting an I am a demon free bitch shirt. I might get the shades though. That might be my new driving shades. It's the InfoWars. It is really funny to me that this day and age that I'm like excited for the next drop of InfoWars. They're like, oh yeah, hell yeah, InfoWars. Tuning in Thursday. And I had a group run Thursday night. You know, third Thursday's 12-year anniversary. 12 years of running that. I've missed like one, maybe two third Thursday runs. I know there was definitely one. Well, one I missed because it was St. Patrick's Day and I bought a ticket to the Blues game, not realizing it was the third Thursday of the month. It's like, man, I got to go to a fucking Blues game on my birthday, you know? I was like, oh, fuck. I realized like the week of like, oh, shit. No, I'm missing third Thursday. And then so there's been like two times in third Thursday's history where my birthday landed on third Thursday, and that particular one, I fucking failed to go because I was going to a Blues game. But, I mean, it was a Blues game on St. Pat's. How can you pass that up? Anyway. And another time, I went to it after the fact because I was, like, injured. There was one I skipped out, I think, on because I was sick. I didn't want to get everybody else sick. But yeah. I haven't had any caffeine yet today. It's showing. I will be rocking that 5-hour energy though before the marathon of a movie I'm gonna watch later. Which, yeah, it looks okay from watching the previews, but I'm not real stoked about it, to be honest. I would rather go see The Evil Dead. Although I've heard some negative. I've heard some plus, some negative about it. I don't, you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe I'll enjoy it. I get real Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes from it, like with having the family in the trailer and stuff. I'm definitely way more excited for the next Evil Dead, Evil Dead Wrath, knowing that it's going to be a prequel to the first movie. Which I find just exciting. Find it exciting. I like the sound of that. And, yeah. I would, you know, having a movie theater downstairs is very much like I'd rather a lot of times, and I'll just watch certain movies at least at home. I still enjoy going to the movie theater. And I can't beat the sound system that is in the movie theater. And it is more epic if I go to like a good movie theater, like Shelley and Nabina are going to see it apparently in the IMAX, which honestly I'd prefer to do that. But Muffin Man's working today, so the times that they were looking at, they wouldn't have been able to get a ticket for, so... won't be seeing it on a big screen TV. We'll be seeing it here in town. And, anyway. There are, you know, I might go see the Spider-Man movie in the theater. I probably will. But, you know, I could go, I could go without seeing it in the theater. I mean, again, once it comes out, I'll be able to watch it here. And I can make the popcorn, make the smell of the movie theater. My sound system may not be as good. But damn, that projector is pretty solid image. I do have, I had mentioned, of course, earlier, I stopped to go get a delivery. One of two that I'm getting today. I got the Metal Gear Solid already, Delta. And the other one I'm waiting on is a Blu-ray of Twins. The fantastic feature that, of course, stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. I believe Ivan Reitman directed it, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on that. I want to say it's a Reitman film. But I saw that movie in the theater when I was a kid, when it first came out, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I still enjoy the film. And that's the next movie poster I think I'm going to order. I did, after last week's episode, I ordered a few more movie posters. I believe it was last Sunday. Or maybe I ordered it or messaged the seller already by Saturday, but I know Sunday I actually ordered it from the guy. I do have posters coming of Hobo with a Shotgun, Airplane, and Howard the Duck coming to me. He had to get them out of storage yet, so I don't think he shipped them yet. He hasn't at least emailed me saying he shipped them yet, but I ordered them, and he's like, hey, let me know if you want any more. I've got like 35,000 of these things. I'm like, fuck. I've already thought, of course, of other movies that I want to give. These things aren't, you know, exactly cheap. But knowing I have a guy now, I have direct line to him. I can order them straight from him instead of just going to eBay and like placing a bid and then maybe get it, maybe don't. But I realize after ordering those, I'm like, you know what? I got to get one of Twins. And like because of that, I was like, you know what? Let's get the Blu-ray of Twins, and I gotta watch it because it's been a long time since I've seen Twins. So I figured, why not? Let's rock some Danny DeVito and Arnold. Yeah, Danny, check it out, Danny. The part where Arnold's like, take out the papers and the trash. He's just like singing along to that song. And just, you know, the idea that they're actually related, that they're brothers. I mean, the movie's just fantastic. It's fucking classic. And I think, for me, it's the best comedy that Arnold did. You know, Kindergarten Cop was decent, but Twins was a funny fucking movie. Those two, so good. And apparently Arnold enjoyed screwing around with Danny DeVito. Like, making him work out, but then, like, giving him, like, a big cake and shit. Having him eat a bunch of bad shit. And, I would have loved to have been around on that set. That would have been fantastic. Arnold and Danny DeVito. Oh, anyway, I'm going to try to see if maybe I can go get my haircut, although I feel like I kind of need a nap. It might be a good idea if I get a nap, since I will be seeing a 3-hour movie later. I'm tired just thinking about it. I'm tired after doing this podcast, and I've only been going for an hour. So, you know, maybe I'll do another one of these later that I'll put out next week. We'll see what happens. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.